Today's shiur's is chus for shalom and bracha for a full shleima. Today's shiur's masech tiksubas daf kuf beis, and we will begin on daf kuf aleph amud beis at the Gemara. Etmar, haim lechaver, if somebody says to someone else, chayv en ilcha mana, I owe you a mana. Rabbi Yochanan amar, chayv. The fact that he admits that he owes the mana is enough for him to be obligated to pay it. Shlok shama potter. Shlaki says that he's potter. Ask the Gemara, hechidami, exactly what is the case that we are referring to, ask the Gemara. If not only did he say, I owe him money, but he also said to people who were standing there, I appoint you to be edim, to say testimony to my admission that I owe this money. So ask the Gemara, my time of the Rish Lakish to Kapater. Why would Rish Lakish say that you're not obligated to pay? The halacha is that if you admit in front of Edom that you owe the money, you're certainly chayiv, you're certainly obligated to pay what you admitted to. Says the Gemara, Ella, we're going to have to explain, the loy amar atam edei, that he did not admit in front of Edom that they owes the money. So if there's no Edom there, my Tama asked the Gemara, why would Rav Yochanan say that you're chayiv? The Gemara's question is that, as we've learned in other places, that I just said it, Meshata Nibach. I just said it, but I didn't really mean what I said. Or another explanation that Tosfos suggests he could say why he said it. He could say he said it just to put himself into place that he shouldn't feel like he's a very wealthy man. So he says, I owe people money, and that's why I will have to control my cost. So what exactly is the case, asked the Gemara, where Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are debating? Answers, the Gemara, Olam Deloy Kamala Atamedei. He did not appoint Edom to this admission. V'hocha Ma'iskinen, what is the case that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are referring to? Dom Leichai V'ni Manocha B'shtar. That there's a shtar that says, I owe you money. And he didn't sign the shtar, but he did turn over the shtar to that person saying that he owes him the money. Rabbi Yochanan Chayiv, because the fact that there's a shtar, even though there is no signature on the shtar, that's enough to make him obligated to pay. Alim Amilsa the shtar, because the fact that it was committed to writing in a document, Commander Amaluhu Atam Edom Dami, it has the halachic equivalency as if he appointed them to be his Edom. Rish Lakish am a potter. Rish Lakish, on the other hand, says potter. Lailima Milsa the Shtara. The fact that it's just committed to a shtar and it's not signed doesn't give it that strength, says the Gemara. The Gemara wants to connect this machlokes that we just had between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan to what we discussed in our Mishnah. Because says the Gemara, tonight we learned in our Mishnah, Hanoisus Isha, somebody marries a woman, a Paskim, a Lazan, a Spitacham, and he committed to supporting her daughter for 5 years. So the halacha is, Chayiv Lazayna Chamishana. He has to support her for those 5 years. My love, Bekai Gavna, isn't our Mishnah referring to where he put it into writing? And even though he didn't sign it, give it in front of Edom, just the fact that there's a piece of paper saying that he's committed to, that's considered a full-fledged commitment. Says the Gemara, Loi, don't explain, says the Gemara, Loi, don't explain that our Mishnah is referring to a case where there is such an obligation. Just a document which doesn't have the same strength that we normally give a document strength to. Rather, this is our Mishnah is referring to shtar psikta, that there's a full-fledged document that obligates the husband to all the various commitments. And in such a document, the document was written properly, it was signed by Edom, and that's why the Mishnah's commitment is considered such a full-fledged commitment. But were we not to have that type of shtar, it wouldn't be considered a commitment. where do we find that that type of shtar is considered a very strong shtar? Krav Gidl, Amar Rav Gidl Marav. Kam ata nois labincha. When a chassan and kala get engaged, and one side, the chassan, the kala side says to the chassan side, kam ata nois labincha, how much are you giving for your son? And they say, kach v'kach. And then they say, kam ata nois labincha, how much are you giving for your daughter? And they say, kach v'kach, omda v'kitshu, and then there's a kedushin between the man and the woman, kanu, there's a kinyan. Hein hein dvar niknu b'amira. Even though normally we need to have a much stronger kinyan, here this is adequate. But the Rashbam says that it's only adequate if they got married, if they had a kedushin right after they made these commitments to each other. But if the commitments were made, but the kedushin, but not at the same time of the kedushin, then the special halacha that our Gemara just described would not apply. The Reed disagrees. The Reed says that the special strength that we've been giving to this type of commitment doesn't even have to be at the shtas kedushin. And the Rishonim and Achronim explain why do we have this very unique halacha that even though normally this would be inadequate, here it's inadequate. Some say it's a special takonas chazal, that it should be strong enough. But the Rebbe Chanan says that it's considered another way of kinyan, which I think he really means to say the same as those Rishonim, that Chazal instituted a new form of kinyan. What is the new form of kinyan that Chazal instituted? This relationship that is created between the chassan and kala at the time of the getting engaged. But the way I saw that the Noida Behuda and others, the Chazanish, explained the Gemara, is based on a very fundamental discussion. And that is, we often discuss Kinyonim. And when we discuss Kinyonim, the question that always needs to be discussed is, why did Chazal institute Kinyonim? And the reason Chazal instituted Kinyonim is because a kinyan is a representation of gemiras das. A kinyan represents that there's a full-fledged commitment to the transaction that's taking place. When we have a chassan and a kala, when we have these two sides, the chassan side and the kala side, committing to each other to get married, that shows a very serious gemiras das. And since, explains the Noida Behuda, we now have this very serious gemiras das, there's no need for anything more. Because the only reason we always need to have a kinyan is to have a gemiras das. Here, the gemiras das is accomplished with what they discuss with each other, and therefore there is no need, there is no need for anything more. The Taz discusses a situation where the father of the chassan agreed to give the couple support for 5 years, and then the chassan died after 2 years. So most people assumed that the father agreed to provide the support only while the son is alive. But now that the son died, the commitment is terminated. The Taz, however, quoting our Mishnah, says that the father has to give his commitment. Because as we're learning now, the commitments that are made by a chassan and a kala are considered halachically very strong commitment. The Or Sameach, however, disagrees with the Taz. And he says that in the case of a father's commitment to support his son and daughter-in-law, it's different, he says, from the case that we learned in a Mishnah where somebody agreed to support his wife's daughter. Because a husband, explains the Or Sameach, is obligated to support his wife. And then, therefore, when a father agrees to provide for his son and daughter-in-law, he is in fact promising to give his son a gift by helping him fulfill his obligation to provide for his wife. Therefore, if Rachmana Litzlan, the son, dies, the agreement is nullified because he committed himself to his son, not to his daughter-in-law. However, explains the Aruch Shemach, a mother, as we're going to be learning in our Shiurim, is not legally obligated to provide for her daughter. And therefore, when the mother's husband agrees to support his wife's daughter, he's not agreeing to grant his wife a gift, but he's agreeing to give his wife's daughter a gift. And therefore, even after the marriage terminates, that obligation continues. The Gemara Masechta Sota Daf Beis Amud Aleph teaches us, 40 days before a child is formed, Bas Klal Yoytzes Vimeres, a Bas Klal emanates Vimeres, Bas Pliny the Pliny. So, I saw that the Mefarshim explain, when you have two families that are getting connected, and this boy and this girl, Baruch Hashem, are getting engaged, how do we know that this couple is the couple on which the Bas Klal announced Bas Pliny Leploini? But, explained the Mefarshim, if the two sides, the Chassan side and the family and the Kallah side, get along with each other, Hein Hein Dvar Ma'niknim Benvira, those, the fact that the Niknim, the fact, as we just explained, they're so committed to each other and they're so prepared to work with each other, that's Hein Hein Dvarim HaNiknim BaAmira. That's the proof that this is the couple of the Amira, that this is the couple on which there was an announcement that they should Bas Klal, Bas Pliny LePliny. And that's why every Jewish marriage, the first official part of the marriage is the Tanoim. And in the Tanoim begin with the words, HaMagid Mireishis Achris. We're speaking about what happened previously. Why are we announcing what happened previously? The answer is because we're trying to announce that this couple is the couple on which there was an announcement, Bas Pliny LePliny. Says the Gemara, Toshimav. So the Gemara again wants to connect the Machloikis, Arish Lakish, and Rabbi Yochanan, to Mishnah Masechta Bechairis. Toshimav. Kosov l'koyin, if somebody writes to a koyin, somebody has a firstborn son, so we know there's an obligation to do opinion of ben, and he writes to the koyin, ani chayv lach chamesh shloim, I'm going to owe you chamesh shloim as the pinyan ben, and he gives this document to the koyin in front of Edom. The halacha says, the Mishnah there is, chayv litin shloim shloim, the obligation to give chayim shloim is there, he has a committed in a document. Because we assume, at this point at least, that these are two separate obligations. As soon as you write the shtar, it's considered that you're obligated to give the chomis, you obligated yourself to give this person, this koyin, who happens to be an individual who's a koyin, chomis loim, and you also have to do a pinyan ben. But, so that's a right for Shlokish, that as soon as you commit to a document that you're going to give this money, you're obligated to give it. Rav Yochanan's opinion, how will Rish Shlokish explain that Gemara? Answers that Mishnah, says the Gemara, Shani Hasan Meshum Adam Deraisa. There, the halacha is that he's obligated to the Kohen to give Chamish Shloim because of the opinion of Ben. And therefore, the money is not because of a separate obligation. It's only because of the obligation that you have to be paid to your son. And therefore, says Rish Lakish, even if normally that is inadequate of an obligation, here where you already begin with this obligation, because you have to do a pinyan ben, that writing any document will be sufficient. Says the Gemara, if you have this obligation, because you have the obligation of pinyan ben, so ask the Gemara, Yochi my cousin, what was the need to write the document altogether? Answers the Gemara, k'day levaro l'koyim. Even though, of course, you have the obligation to do pinyan ben, the Torah doesn't tell you which specific koyim you have to use. You chose this koyim, and in order to show that this your commitment to this kohen, that he is the kohen that you've chosen, and he's the kohen that you're going to carry out the pinyan haben with, that's why you put it into a shtar. But if that's the whole purpose, asked the Gemara, of writing that shtar, and the entire purpose of writing that shtar was just to formalize that this is the kohen with whom I'm going to do pinyan haben, so then why is the halacha yochid b'noya mayin padui? Why is this not considered a valid pinyan haben? Answers the Gemara, as the Mishnah just said there, k'rula madama devat tayr b'noy padui chshitin. The Mishnah is coming to teach us what Ula taught us, that the halacha is that if somebody writes to a kohen opinion that he's obligated to pay him the chomis loyim, the halacha is only when you give the money is it considered that the child is padui. My tamar amar b'noy ena padui. Why is the halacha that just writing this obligation is insufficient? Gzeirus shem yoyim repayim b'shtaris. Chazal were concerned that let's say I have a document, and the document says that somebody owes me money, somebody owes me 5 sloim. And I have to do pinyan haben. And as we're learning now, of course, the amount of money that's used for pinyan haben is chametz sloim. So I give this document, this IOU that somebody owes me money to the kohen to affect the pinyan haben. So the halacha is that is not considered a valid pinyan haben. However, if I write a document to the kohen that I owe him the money, so that, according to the Taz and Shach, technically would be considered a valid pinyan haben. However, many achronim disagree, and they say that even if I write a shtar, it's not just that somebody owes me money and the shtar says that they owe me money. Even if I write a shtar to somebody that I owe them, even if I write a shtar to the kohen that he owes me money, that I owe him the money, the pinyan haben would not be a valid pinyan haben. Because the halacha is that you have to have real money to affect the pinyan haben. And therefore, that's what the Mishnah there over there is teaching us. That even though you wrote a shtar yourself, that you owe the money, it's not considered a valid pinyan haben. I'm a Rava. So again, this discussion, says the Gemara, that we have over there is not connected. In the Mishnah over there regarding pinyan haben, says the Gemara, is not connected to what we are discussing here regarding machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokish. If there's just a document that says I owe money, what is the strength of that document? Amar Rava. So Rava wants to suggest that the machlokes of Yochanan and Shlokish ketanoi is a machlokes tanoim, because the Mishnah in Masechta Bava Basra teaches us. A guarantor on a loan that is signed below the signature of the Edom. In other words, the shtar represents the two people, one borrowed money from the other, and then there are Edom on that shtar, and below the signature of the Edom, the guarantor takes on his responsibility. So the halacha is Gaiva of Nechasim Nechayim. We know that if the guarantor took on this responsibility, he has to pay. What about if the guarantor doesn't have any liquid assets? Can we go after Mishabadim? Could the Malva go after his Nechas Mishabadim properties that he owed at the time that he took on the guarantee? And the halacha is that you can't, because since there are no Edom signed on the guarantee, the reason when the halacha allows one to go after the chasam shibadim is only in a case, the reason the halacha allows one to go after the chasam shibadim is only because there are edim. And edim publicize that there's a mortgage of my assets. And because the edim publicize that there are mortgages of my assets, somebody who buys my assets knows that he's taking that risk. But if there are no edim on the guarantor, There's no taking a risk. Masabal of Nehri Bishmol, Vamagama by Nechas Becharim. They only can collect for the Becharim, as we explained. Amalai Ben Anas, and Ben Anas says, Enegav Eloim Nechasim Becharim, Not only can we not go after the assets, the mechasim shibadim of the Arev, but not even after his nechasim neicharim. Amalai, so Shmuel asks Benanis, Lama, why? He certainly accepted upon himself to be a guarantor. And since he certainly accepted upon himself to be a guarantor, his nechasim neicharim ought to be obligated. Amalai, so he responded. Benanis responded. Haresha yuchanik schaver b'shuk. If I see somebody, Rechamon Lutzlon, choking somebody else in the street, and I tell Hanachloi, why are you choking him? He said, because he owes me money and he's not paying. So I, out of mercy to this victim, say, Hanachloi, leave him, and I'll pay that debt, Potter, because it's not considered that he really, that he took on that responsibility. Shloi el amunosoi haveyu. It's not that I really wanted to pay it. I just wanted to get him, or I just wanted to help this person, this victim. Sit here too, the Arev is not really responsible, because it wasn't that the borrower borrowed the money, say that the Malva lent the money, saying, well, I'm comfortable in lending the money because I know that there's an Arev here. And this Arev will be the guarantor on the loan if the loiva will forfeit. Because when he lent the money, the Arev had not yet signed. And since when he lent the money, the Arev had not yet signed, it's not considered that it's a real act of a guarantor. So we see from here that if you just have a document that isn't a serious document with Adam signed to it, Ben Anas holds it's not considered a valid document, and Rabbi Shmuel holds it is. So the Gemara wants to say that that's exactly the machlokes that we started the shiur with. Leim Rabbi Yochanan, Amak Rabbi Shmuel, that even though there are no Adam signed in it, it's still considered a valid document. Rish Lakish, Amak Ben Anas. Says the Gemara, leave the Ben Anas kulam le pligi. According to Ben Anas, there's no way to reconcile Rabbi Yochanan's opinion with Ben Anas' opinion. Ben Anas clearly is teaching us, saying something without obligation, Ben Anas says, is not considered something very, very serious. And the way the Rishonim explain, an Arev, a guarantor, is a shibud, is a type of obligation that is based in the Torah. As we find that Yehuda said to Yaakov Avinu, Anoichi Ervenu, Miyodi Tavakshenu, Emloi Avesi Eloch, Vitzatu Lefanacha, Vitasulcha Kalayomim, when he guaranteed Binyamin's safe return. So if that's not considered enough of an obligation, certainly just somebody saying, somebody writing, I owe you money, without any real seriousness behind it, is not to be taken seriously. Keep Ligi, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shmuel. Where's the Machlokes according to Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel over there said that the Arev signed, and that's good enough to make him into an Arev. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shmuel certainly seem to be consistent. And Rish Lakish is going to tell you, Rish Lakish is going to say, Atkan, as we just explained, Atkan lekom Rabbi Shmuel Hassam, that just having the Arev signed on the bottom of the star with no Adim below the signature of the Arev is El Deshaik L'Shibud Deraisa. Because an Arev at least is a very strong Shibud, as we just described. The Arev is a Shibud that has a basis in the Torah. Aval Hocha, when just you have a person obligating himself out of nowhere, which is Lo Shaykh Shibud Deraisa, everybody would agree that that's not considered a serious document, says Rish Lakish. Gufa. So we go back to what we discussed earlier. Gufa Amar Rav Gidl Amar Rav. Kam Ata Nois Labim Chakach Vakach. Vakam Ata Nois Labit Chakach Vakach. Amda Vakitshu Vakanu Heinein Dvar Manik Mamira. Amar Rav Mestav Milsa De Rav says Rav, when is this type of an commitment considered a full-fledged obligation? Bebita Nara, when somebody's marrying off his daughter when she's a Nara, which we know a father has a right to be married off his daughter when she's a Ktana, when she's a Nara. The Kamati Hanali Yadei, he's the one, if there's going to be, for example, Kedushin Kesef, he's the one that's going to get the money. Av Begeris, when somebody's marrying off a Begeris, where the father's rights are much more limited, where he's not going to get the Kesef Kedushin, he doesn't have the same strength. Loi, this special halacha that we've been learning of Hein Hein Dvarma Nikma Mira would not apply. Velakim, Bedao says Rava, with a Shvua, Velakim Amarava Fila Begeris, that this halacha even applies by a Begeris, even when the father of Begeris is entering into this marriage commitment, even though his rights are very limited, because she's a Begeris, the same halacha would apply. Dilai Taimahachi, if we're not, and the proof that you don't have to get anything to make this halacha applicable, because think about it, says Rava. Avia ben Mayino Isiliyade. Even though, obviously, there is a difference between when somebody's marrying off his daughter, when she's a katana or a nara, versus marrying off his daughter when she's a begeris, but by a son, there is no such halacha. The father never has that right. Avia ben Mayino Isiliyade. And yet, we've been learning that he has the special authority. So what is the halacha? As we said earlier, the fact that these two families are marrying into each other, even though they're not necessarily getting anything, shows a seriousness of commitment, and that is in place of any kinyan that's required. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Devar Malolu, Nitun Likosav Elinat Nalakatum. What's the halacha that the two sides agreed to whatever they agreed to? Can they be put down, committed to writing with Edom or not? Amalei Lo Nitun Likosav. The Chazal, if you didn't, both sides did not agree to then put it into writing and have Edom sign in it, the halacha is that we don't put it into writing. Because when you put into writing, then nechosim mishabadim, they could go after lekuchas, and that you can't do without express permission from both sides. Eisvei asked the Gemara, hekpichna yikaisvin, the smart people who undertook to support one's wife's daughter, and then as the Mishnah discussed extensively, what happens if that marriage terminates? Is that commitment still there? So the Mishnah says that in order to avoid that you should continue supporting your former wife's daughter, so the Mishnah, what would the smart people do? The clever people do. I'm going to support her as long as we're married. So we see that we could write it, that commitments were written. Says the Gemara, my kaisvim, Imrim. There was never writing. It was only saying. Ask the Gemara for Karle Lamir Ksiva. If there was only verbal commitment, is that the same? Would the Mishnah use the word Ksiva in? Ask the Gemara, but not as a raya here. The Mishnah, we learned earlier, used the word da pehei. Even though the Mishnah used the word akaisiv, it means ha'ima lishtoi. So we see that sometimes the Mishnah uses the word ksiva, even though it's only amira. Tashma en kaisvin, eris shtar erev nesuim, el medash neim. We can't write any shtar eris in a nesuim, only if both parties agree to it. Ha medash neim, kaisvin. My laugh, shtar psikta. So isn't this for a proof that these stars are written? So it's more loy shtari erushin. The shtar of the marriage. Krapap of Shavia, the etme kosu lishma. The halacha is somebody wrote a shtar kedushim for a specific woman. Veloy medata. But he didn't ask her permission. And then he marries her with that shtar. Rav of Ravina Mekudoshes, it's a valid shtar kedushin. Just like they learn that a shtar get can be written without the woman knowing, so too would be by shtar kedushin. Rav Papa Rishavi Amar Eina Mekudoshes, you can't write it without her consent. So of course, the Avni Meluim asks, a get, we know Midaraisa, one could divorce his wife without her consent. But one can never marry a woman without her consent. And since one may not marry a woman without her consent, how can we write a shtar kedusha without her consent? So Rav Chaim Brisker answers that the consent is that as long as she consents at the time of the marriage, and the husband is just the one that's arranging everything, that's not considered lacking in the act of kedushin. Toshma. Mesu, when a husband dies and he left over daughters, we learned in our Mishnah, his daughter could only supported from assets that he left over when he passed away. But the daughter of his wife, who he accepted to be support, is supported in the Chosim Shabbatim. Unlike a daughter who's only supported because of the Tanai Ksuba, and therefore that's only there, that obligation can only be collected from Bnei Chayrim. If somebody owes money, so all of his assets become the Chosim Shabbatim. So the daughter who's of the wife who he obligated to support is a Baal Chayiv. Now, the halacha is that even though a Baal Chayiv could collect his obligation from the Chosim Shabbatim, but you only could collect those obligation if they were put into a shtar. For as we said earlier in our shir, when they were committed to a shtar, there's publicity around that obligation. And since there's publicity around that obligation, somebody who buys those assets knows that there's a lien on those assets. So it must be in our Mishnah that there was committed to writing. Because if it wasn't committed to writing, why would the daughters of his wife be allowed to collect what he obligated himself to from his Nechasim Shabbatim? So it's a raya that these obligations were written in a shtar. Says the Gemara, since there was a kinyan, therefore you could go after the lekuchis even without a shtar. Says the Gemara, Yochi, if that's the case that we're referring to, that this man obligated himself with a kinyan, Yochi, in Bonos Nami, the halacha should be by daughters as well. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about Mishkan Lazu Velekan Lazu. He made a kinyan for his wife's daughters, and that's why the obligation is so strong that they should be able to go after the Chosim Shabbatim, but the obligation to his daughters don't have that kinyan. Ubay Poska, ask the Gemara, why do we say that the obligation to your wife's daughters you affirm with a kinyan versus the obligation to your daughters you don't? I did have Bishas kinyan, Mahani like kinyan. When you marry a woman with daughters, so you're obligating yourself to people who are already here. And that's why you're committed to a kinyan. Bonos, but your own daughters aren't yet in existence when you get married. Bonos, the loy have b'shas kinyan. Loy mahani le kinyan, the kinyan can't be effective, even if you were to make a kinyan, because they are dovish loy b'loy loylem. But ask the Gemara, why are we saying that the daughters that we're referring to in our Mishnah are only daughters who weren't there when you got married, and therefore it wasn't possible to make a kinyan for them? Can we not explain our Mishnah that it's referring to daughters that were already there when you got married? The example would be, you married a woman, had daughters with her, Garsha, and then divorce that woman, the Hadron, you take her back. So those daughters are there, and you can make a kinyan. So why are we saying that you only make a kinyan for your wife's daughters and not for your daughters? Eliyah, the Lissa, but Tanai Bezdin, the daughters, that there's no Tanai Bezdin, that you're obligated to support them, Mahane Le Kinyan, that's where the kinyan will be effective. Bonois, this number Tanai Bezdin, but the daughters that you have to support because of a Tanai Bezdin, Loi Mahan Le Kinyan, the Kinyan is not effective. In other words, since the Ksuba already obligates them, the Ksuba's obligation supersedes any Kinyan. Ask the Gemara, but Migra Gora, yes, there's a ksuba. And the ksuba gives you a very strong obligation to your daughters. But why would a kinyan that you made with them make any worse? Why would a kinyan be ineffective? El b'noisav b'nai tama, says the Gemara, the reason why there's no kinyan by his own daughters, kivan d'istam b'tanai bezdin, as we just explained, since you are obligated with a tanai bezdin to support your daughters, emetzrar atvasei. The Chazal were concerned that you already supported your daughters. And the simplest pshat to learn this Gemara is because your wife's daughters, you're only supporting because you're obligated yourself to support them. Your daughters, yes, there's a Tanai Bezdin. And the Gemara is saying not only was there a Tanai Bezdin, there might have even been a kinyan to strengthen that obligation. But you really want to support your children. And since you want to support your children, there's a real concern that you already gave her that payment. And now, when she goes to Lekuchas for that payment, the Lekuchas can make a very strong claim that she really got what she's deserving, because certainly her father wanted to make sure that she should have what she needs. The Mishnah says that he can't say, L'yom HaRishon, that he made this commitment to his wife's daughter, and then they got divorced, and now the wife married a second husband who also took on that obligation. So the Mishnah says, "Lo yom arishin l'chishtave etzli azoina." If she'll live with me, I'll support her. El moich lem zinusel makom she'ima. He takes the support wherever the mother is. Amar Rav Chisda. From here we learn, says Rav Chisda, "Bas etzli ima," that the daughter goes with her mother. Ask the Gemara. The daughter always goes with the mother. Ask the Gemara. "B'maid b'gdoila skinin." Who says that we're talking about a gdoila? Dilma b'ktana skinin. Maybe our Mishnah is referring that the daughter was a ktana. U'mishamaisa shahoya. And there was a maisa shahoya that caused her to go with her mother. The Tanya. Misha meis. V'nich ben katan limay. Somebody who passed away and left over a son, a yosem, who's a young child. Yarshav Omri Yigod Latzlenu. The father's Yarshim say, the sons say that their brother, this Yosem, should be raised with them. Vimei Mereshi Gbnei God Latzli, and his mother says, I want a son with me. Menichna Yisrael Etzlamina Imai. We leave him with his mother. Vei Menichna Yisrael Etzroi Liyosha. We don't leave him with his brothers. Because, says the Gemara, Mai Sahaya, there was a terrible episode for Shechtu Erev Rishon. They were so anxious that their brother should not be able to, should not get a share in the Yerusha, that they killed him so that they shouldn't take over his share. And the same thing we have to worry about a girl, because she gets supported, as we just learned, from the estate of the father. We learned earlier in the Masechta that she gets 10% for her marriage expenses. So that's why the halacha should be that a ktana should go with a mother. Okay, it says the Gemara, if that's the case, that we're talking about a ktana, it should say l'makom shehi, wherever she is. Why did it say l'makom she'ima? Says, why did it say that? Shmamina, to teach us, bas etzel aim, that the daughter goes to the mother, loishna gdol loish ktana, girl of a divorced couple goes to the mother. Says the Gemara, L'yayim Rishneim. Now, if she was married to two men, and two men have this obligation to support her, says the Gemara, they shouldn't say, well, since we both have the obligation to support her, we'll split the obligation between us. Says the Gemara, Who gave the Argalei Rachel Chavrei? There was somebody who rented a mill to someone else, L'tchina, for grinding. L'soif, and the deal was that the person who rented this mill will do all milling on behalf of the owner of the mill for free. L'soif atar, at the end, the owner of the mill, the landlord, got wealthy, and Zerav and Rechai v'chamri bought his own mill, his own donkey, and he didn't need somebody else to mill on his behalf. Amalei, so he said to him, Adid Navat Chinagabach, till now, the way you paid me was by grinding for me. But now I no longer need you to grind on my behalf. I have my own mill. Hashta havli igra. Now I want you to pay rent. Amalei, and the tenant said, mitchan tchinalach, I'm prepared to continue doing what it was till now. So Ravina meima, hanemes nisen. So Ravina assumed that that's the same case of our Mishnah. Hello yomru, where the Mishnah said, the two can't say that we'll give her food as we obligated ourselves. We don't have to give money. One should give her the food. So you see that if somebody doesn't need the food, you have to give him the money. Similarly, it's same in our case. Since he doesn't need, I don't need you to grind for me anymore. Baruch Hashem, I was able and I have my own mill now. So now you should give me the cash that I need, the rent. The daughter of our Mishnah has only one stomach. So saying, the boat should say, well, we'll give her food is not an option. She only needs to eat once. The renter could tell the owner, I will continue milling on your behalf. You have your own mill. I'll mill for you, and if you don't need everything I mill, sell it. Says the Gemara, V'lo yamarin, lest the tchina l'chayu. Only in the case, where can he make this claim, that I only want to continue milling for you, I don't want to have to pay you, is when he doesn't have enough customers for milling. So he says, I have to mill, and I don't have enough customers for milling, so I'd rather mill for you because I don't have the cash to pay you. Aval islay tchina, if I have enough customers that I could mill for you anyway, so there, for me to rent, for me to say, I dafka want to mill for you, that's, says the Gemara, that's just being unfair. Because I can keep my mill busy all the time anyway. And by keeping my mill busy all the time, and I'll pay you cash, and my taking the position, well, I don't want to pay you cash, is unfair. So here we last learned, the Gemara just talked the place of a daughter is Eitzel Ima. So there's a very big discussion in the Rishonim. A girl's place of a divorced family is with the mother. The Rambam, however, says that when a couple gets divorced, the mother has a right to say that she wants her son to be with her, and the halach is that until the boy is 6 years old, the Rambam in Hilchas Ishus, Perich of Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin, until the boy is 6 years old, should be with his mother. And the husband should support him there. After 6 years old, the boy should be with his father. A girl, the Rambam says, is always with the mother. The Ravid disagrees. And the Ravid there says, in hadas sovelus, it's unacceptable, says the Ravid, that we should separate the son from the father even till when he's 6 years old. How can he properly be mechanech his son when he doesn't have access to a son? And the question here is that the Marashdam has an interesting shaila, where a father passed away, and he left a wife, the Amona, and their brothers. And the question is, can the brothers insist that their sister, who they are supporting, because they are the Yarshim of the father, remain close to them? And there's a very big machloikis, and the question also is, if a girl is with her mother, as we're learning now, the Gemara taught us, can the father take the position, well, I'm prepared to support, and I'm prepared to accept that the daughter remains with her mother, but can I insist that they remain near me? Machloikis, Marashdam, and the Maribal. And the Maribal's position is that the daughter can always go to the Maribal's passion is, the halacha is, that the mother, if she needs to move, wants to move for whatever reason, has a right to make such a move. The Marashdam disagrees. We also are discussing where a son, the Rambam says, remains with his mother until 6 years old. The Shaul Shuvas Michas Yitzchak, Chelek Zayin, Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, has a discussion under which circumstances that does the halacha talk about a mother and a son, and what is the bezdin, what is the position supposed to be on this situation. And he says that as much as we have to look out that a son, especially when he's young, wants to be with his mother, should be with his mother, the first consideration should always be, says the Michas Chiyitzchak, the chinuch consideration. And if for the purpose of the chinuch of this child, we're much better off with the child being with his father, then that's the first consideration that should be taken in any such situation.